Now that we have someone working on the archives, we're going to start working on going through some of the artifacts that we're going to need to put into a storage area so that we can start on the upstairs of the building.
The Ellis County Historical Society moves into the summer season with extended hours and a new exhibit. Executive Director Amanda Rupp stops by to share all the details on this episode of the Post Podcast.
It's exciting. You know, we moved back into our building last November, opened our doors for business in January, and this summer we get to be open 7 days a week. I am very excited about that.
Yeah, as I was just telling you, right as we were getting ready to go on, we talked a little bit about that this morning on the community calendar. We saw some hours, and we're going to get into that, but let's just talk the basics. When are you guys available for the public?
We are going to be usually almost every day 10 to 4, and then even on Thursdays, we're going to be open until 7. If you'd like to come do some research, you work during the day and want to come visit us during the evening hours, and we're even going to be open Saturdays and Sundays. Sundays will be from 1 to 5. So, but I will be down there most days of the week. You can come down and chat with me if you really want to.
All day, every day. I imagine you guys have so much going on. So let's talk about some of those services that you guys provide. What can people get in and do now? Because I know when we're going to talk about the latest exhibition going on. But outside of that, what do you guys offer to the community?
Well, we have reorganized our archives and... I was able to hire a part-time archivist assistant, and she has been putting those into our new Past Perfect system. So now if you come down and you want to look up some family history, she's going to be able to assist you in going through the things that we have in our archives. The big one that I am excited about are the docket books that date back to the late 1860s, 1870s. All written in hand, that nice calligraphy, their docket books about notices to appear or criminal actions. They vary from the city of Hayes to other townships in the county. And some of them are pretty interesting to read if you can read the calligraphy, but she's going to be putting those in our system so that you don't have to thumb through them all by hand and you can, you know, look up James and see what trouble he was into or what businesses he was selling back in the day.
You know, that's so cool. I love that so many of these organizations like yours, the smaller countywide or even citywide historical societies, are taking the time to archive that data because it becomes so important. I was listening to some really cool genealogy podcasts. So they were going through that family tree and finding the branches that people didn't know about. And it was the little clues. There's a little name, the JM next to next to a last name, in one of those kind of entries that can open up everything for them.
Right. And, you know, a lot of those books that we have down there have some pertinent information in them, but people don't go through them enough. And what I found is there's a lot of different spellings. You're looking for genealogy, and and it was whoever was writing your docket or writing your... documentation down that said, oh, Mader is spelled M-A-D-E-R or M-A-D-A-R or, you know, so you can only find those things if you're looking at them in person sometimes, because if you do a search on the internet, you're looking for one spelling or, I love the little clues that lead you to the next document and the next document, so.
Yeah, and you know, on the spelling point, phonetics I learned is so important. So actually seeing it as it's written and saying it out loud, which I'm just like, you would think that that's the opposite of how we do research now, but ultimately the most effective.
Yeah. So the other point that I like to point out is, you know, some people do genealogy research and there's lots of fabulous websites out there that can help you with that are family searches. Some of those you have to be a little careful because people aren't checking back to the document and making sure that it was correct. They, you know, oh, so-and-so is related and I have the same John Smith in my tree. So let's assume that that's the same guy. You can get a little bit mixed up doing that. But if you look back at the actual document and you can double check yourself, you're going to be a little bit more accurate and you might find a little bit deeper. So,
yeah. Let's talk about, you mentioned you had an archivist. Is that one of the new staff members you guys brought on? Because I know you've got a couple new ones in the building, right?
Yes. So we have Patty Nicholas joined us as an archival assistant just about a month ago. I pulled her out of retirement. She does fabulous work. She's worked for Fort Hays State University at the Forsyth Library. She has volunteered, I believe, out at Fort Hays Historic Fort. And done some things for the library here in town as well. But she's really in her element. She knows archives in and out and how to put those systems into order so that people can be useful to other people. So I'm excited about having her. And then this summer, we also are going to have two interns. One of them is returning from last year. And she was a senior this year at Fort Hays State. And then another one is a high school student here through Hays, and they both come to us through the Next Generation Roundup for Youth program. So we are excited to have them, because without them, we would not be able to be open 7 days a week this year. And because the rest of the staff is still part-time as well. Adam's still there. I'm of course there. And I also was able to hire, a part-time administrative assistant that helps with some bookwork and some office, stuff. Her name is Cynthia Stone, a former board member. My board is so great. They pitch in and help and wherever we need them. So we're excited. Well, let's see. That counts us up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 part-time staff. I'm excited.
Yeah, you're getting a little team going on. I love it. But for those that haven't seen all the work behind the scenes, my goodness, you guys have really been plugging away and getting, it's not fun. It's not visible. But it's necessary work, getting those archives put back together and getting everything cleaned up just down there, right?
Yeah, it's great. So now that we have someone working on the archives, we're going to start working on going through some of the artifacts that we're going to need to, put into a storage area so that we can start on the upstairs of the building. I don't know. I can't remember. Have you been downstairs, the new remodeled downstairs? Mm-hmm. That is looking gorgeous. And we are moving right along with phase 2 of our remodel. Our bathroom is getting our final touches. We have a new ADA accessible bathroom on that final floor, that ground level floor or below ground level floor. We will start working on the back ADA entrance, the ground level entrance. Hopefully mid fall, I think, is when they can get there with their crews. So we just keep on moving. You blink your eyes, you're going to miss it.
Yeah. And so we might want to back up for everybody. I know there's been a big crane out there for a few weeks. It looks like it's gone now.
Oh, right. I forgot. Yep.
But you want to give just everybody a quick overview of all the bigger project that you guys are working on.
Yeah. So, when we stepped into the position, we decided, we got to decide whether we're going to keep this building or start fresh. And the board decided last year unanimously to go ahead and keep the building, and we're going to put all our efforts towards that. So we jump started and got on right finding some funds to shore up the building, and getting us back in the main office was one of them. And then the roof had been fixed from that catastrophe a couple years ago, but of course the mortar hadn't been addressed in many years, and that just what happens with those brick and limestone buildings. So that was the company you saw out there with the crane. They were tuck and pointing. I don't know the correct terms.
I think that's the term. I don't know what it means. I've heard it before.
I watched them work. They had the little chisels, and they were, it's all very, very delicate, but done by hand kind of stuff. So they were a company from Eastern Kansas that came and did that. And that was quite a price tag, but I was very excited to learn in February that a grant I had applied through Kansas State Historic Society, it's called a Heritage Trust Fund grant, is picking up over 80% of that price tag at about $84,000.
Fantastic.
So next is the rest of our phase 2, which would be, like I said, the ADA accessibility on the basement level. And then the HVAC system will be going in. And we have some exciting news coming up about that that'll be out later in June. But we are on our way. We have ordered the materials, and they are going to be able to get started here in the fall with replacing that very outdated system with a state-of-the-art system throughout the building that will monitor and keep humidity levels accurate and where they need to, so we won't have any more problem with water. I'm tired of hearing, I love water in Western Kansas, but I'm tired of hearing water in that building. So we are moving right along.
Excellent. We've got just a few minutes left, and I want to talk about these exhibits that are going on. Tell us about Notorious.
Notorious is an exhibit, a traveling exhibit that comes out of the Smoky Hill Museum in Salina. And I actually haven't seen it. They're putting it together today. They're bringing it. They deliver it, and it'll be here all summer, June through August 31st, I believe. And it is supposed to be about the notorious, I don't want to say outlaws, notorious people of the plains and the Wild West era of this area. And Adam's really excited to see what they have to say about some of the characters he doesn't think are so notorious. So we're excited that they're, I will be able to tell you more about it when they get it here today. You can come down and look at it, but, yeah, so.
And again, you guys are opening up that, with your summer hours starting tomorrow as well, right?
Yeah, that
so
starts tomorrow.
So the 10 tomorrow, to 4, except for Thursdays, goes to 7.
Right.
Yeah.
And, then on Sundays, we're open from, 1 to 5. So you can come down and see us. We have that exhibit that will be down on the, basement level. In our main room, our commons room that we have. And then there will also be, the outbuildings will be available all summer long as well. And of course, the Sternberg Firearms Collection got so much, attention last summer that, we have decided to keep it up. It had been in storage for so long. Why not keep showing it around? Adam has added a few pieces that weren't on display last year, rearranged some things, also added some Native American, examples of some things that we have in our collection. And so you can come down and see that. That's the Sternberg collection is still located in our limestone church. But all of that comes to you free to the public, no entry fee all summer long, because we're still not open. You know, the upstairs, the main gallery isn't open. And I don't think it's fair for people that want to come in, take a peek at what we're doing, see all the great things. We want to get the excitement going for our community and see what we have to offer. So please come down and visit us. Even if you only have 30 minutes and you want to, you know, get the kids out of the house for a minute, they'll love to walk around. So